Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren on this crisp Sunday morning. I was telling Wendy this morning that yesterday I was sitting in the drive-thru at Sheetz waiting to get my coffee, and I had the window down, short sleeve shirts, and I was like, it's nice and crisp. And a car in front of me made me laugh because they were leaning out the door, not the window, leaning out the door. And the fellow driving had on a heavy stocking cap and a big coat. And he had them gloves on, what the kind, I guess they was mittens, but they flip over and your fingers can come out and you flip them back over. And he was, looked like he was cold. And I thought, what in the world? You don't feel cold to me. And as the car pulled away, I had to laugh because the license plate read California. Our sermon today is titled, Right Here, Right Now. It comes to us with the scripture to support it from Amos chapter 5, starting in verse 18. Amos chapter 5, verse 18. And this morning we was talking about them apples, and it reminded me, a young preacher was looking for a way to engage his community, so he would go out with walks. And he was new there, and one day he was out walking and he happened to see a ring of boys, and a commotion was rising up from them. They was loudly arguing and fussing and carrying on, so he thought he'd ease up on them. And when he did, he saw in the circle of boys was a dog, was a stray on a rope. And he hustled over there thinking them boys was doing, getting ready to do something to hurt that dog. And he busted into him. He goes, hey, hey, hey. There's no need to hurt that dog. And the lead of the boys said, Pastor, we're not trying to hurt the dog. All of us want to keep him. And we're fighting over who should have him. So we decided we would have a contest. And whoever could tell the biggest lie gets to keep the dog. Well, the pastor saw this as an opportunity. He said, I'm going to teach them something right here. And he goes, boys, you shouldn't lie. Look at me. When I was young and growing up, I did everything my parents told me to do. I didn't argue with them. I went to school and I listened to the teachers. I came home every day and did all my chores. I took the trash out. I kept my room clean. I helped out the dishes. I never cussed. I never told a lie. I never swore. I never did anything wrong. And look where I am today. And he leaned back for a moment, all proud of himself, and he looked at the boys, and the oldest boy and the leader of the group said, with his head down, said, all right, fellas, give the preacher the dog. Amos chapter 5, verse 18. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear. As though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, pitch dark, without a ray of brightness? May God add his blessings to that passage. And if you all could see from the other side of the camera, I got a lot of hard eyes staring at me, wondering why such a heavy scripture and where we're going. Buckle your seatbelts. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us be here today. We thank you for the beauty and glory of this fall morning, and we thank you for the words that you have given to make us think, to clear our mind, to strengthen us for the week ahead, to make sure that we are fully prepared to talk openly about Jesus. And make sure that those around us that don't know, don't understand, or are not completely ready to go, hear about the beauty of your Son, the place for repentance, and the power of salvation. Strengthen us with these words, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. Right here, right now, we are living. In 1915, we all know that the great big boat, the Titanic, sunk. A lot of people had cast all their hopes and dreams and cares and thoughts, and they were going to something new. A lot of people had given up everything for it. Irma Bombeck, the humorist, wrote these words about living. Seize the moment. Seize the day. Remember all the women on the Titanic who waved off the dessert cart? Right here, right now, is where we are living. It's where we're alive. For the past few weeks, I have been caught in this swirling mass, if you will, this thought process. And I know what it is. It's not me. I've been trying to break free of it. I want to preach some fluffy, flu-flu, cloud, bunny, unicorn sermons. Some happy stuff full of warm baked apple pies and fresh bread coming out of the oven. And all of those wondrous things. But I'm not allowed to. Because I keep getting hammered with this. Hand-wringing and fussing about what's going to happen next. What's going to happen next, Paul? What's going on? Why are you coming to me? Once again, do I need to remind you? I am the guy who sometimes am surprised I can remember to tie my own shoes. Why are you asking me these questions? Well, you're a pastor. You know all these things. No, I do not. Here's what I do know. Here again, I had to hear those all too familiar words that suddenly have been occurring over the past month. The end is near. The end is near, Paul. The end is near. When will the Lord come? The end is near. The end is near. Did you read something I didn't? And as I was looking towards Sunday and beginning to think what point at which I would preach, how I would put things together, I pointed these things out through my head. Are we not still alive? You can say amen right there. Are we not still alive?
Amen.
Are we not still living?
Amen.
Are we not still here breathing and enjoying everything that God has given us?
Amen.
Right here, right now. Let me tell you about wasted time and thoughts that don't need to be in your head. Some of you have never sat in this church before. Some of you have never heard this story from the other side of the camera. Some of you, I want you to understand, I am really not that smart sometimes. Many years ago before I was, and I'll tell this story again. Many years ago before I was a pastor, before I had answered the call, before I realized that God was going to direct my life once and for all 100%, my wife and I were freshly married, maybe a year or so into it. And my father, the big preacher, the head kahuna, called me one day and said, "Hey, stop by, I got something for you." Usually that's pretty good news. Going to give me some vegetables or something he's cooked. So we stopped by and he gave me these two cassettes. He goes, "Here, I want you to listen to these things." "What is it?" "It's a book about end times." "I don't want it." "You're going to like this. It's a book called Left Behind. You're really going to love it. We read the books and now we have the cassettes and we like listening to it." "I don't want it." And my father played the father card. "I'm telling you to do it." "All right, okay, all right. Give me them things." And we started listening to them. And we got caught up in the Left Behind series like you ain't never heard. Oh, I was into it. I couldn't stop listening to it. And I couldn't get my head to stop thinking about the end of the world and how real Jesus is and all of this stuff. And one day, my wife and I was somewheres way off on a Saturday trip or something. And we was in my old pickup truck, which had a cassette player. For those young people, that's these little square things with two holes in it. And you put it in there and it plays music and words. We was listening to one and it just finished up. We was on the way back from somewhere. And my wife and I have such in-depth conversations and I love it. And I turned to her and I said, "You know, I believe in Jesus and God and all that. And I know that when I was 14 years old, I gave my life to Christ and I got dipped in the water and all of that good stuff. But I've been listening to this thing and cannot help but wonder. And I turned to her and I said, I think I'd like to be left behind just to see what it's really all about. Oh, look at all the heads going. I'm not listening to another word Paul says ever again. And my wife did the same exact expression you all did. She went. And do you know what that expression is? What did I just marry? Is he really that dumb? I was thinking about seeing the hatred, the darkness, the sadness that is coming. Took me a couple more weeks continuing to listen to those things. And I suddenly realized I'm not really that smart, because when I started hearing it, I figured I would be the one that wouldn't have a very good time with this. At Harmony Church of the Brethren, on the wall, flat, is a box with a clear plastic cover. And inside of that thing, oddly enough, is a cassette. Remember that, young people? Little square thing, two wheels in it, has tape inside of it, words and stuff on it. On the wall, it says, open after rapture. And it will have instructions as to what to do. Eventually, I'm going to do one for here, only it'll be a, I don't know what medium it'll be. Maybe it'll be a DVD so that people can pop it in. And they'll look at me and I'll go, if you're watching this. But the basis of it was, and my thought process is, wasting valuable time dwelling on things you don't need to. The psalmist writes these words in number 39 from David. In the fourth verse, show me, O Lord, listen carefully, show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Each man's life is but a breath. We worry about the wrong things. We don't worry about what's correct. An average person's worry, which is that word anxiety, translated into something like this. 40% of people today worry about things that will never happen. 30% about things in the past that can't be changed. 12% about criticism by others, mostly untrue. 10% about health, which oddly enough gets worse with the stress of worrying about it. 8% about real problems that will be faced. You know what lies on the bottom of the ocean and twitches? A nervous wreck. In studying for this, I came upon this poem that represents today's life. I want you to listen to this poem because it talks about exactly what's going on right here and right now, well after the age of the cassette. Time of the Mad Atom. This is the age of the half-read page and the quick hash and the mad dash. The bright night with the nerves tight, the plane hop with brief stop, the lamp tan in a short span, the big spot in a good spot is the big shot. And the brain strain, the heart pain, and the cat naps till the spring snaps and the fun's done. That is a very telling story about today's world. Can you say amen? Amen. Written in the Saturday Evening Post in 1949. Anxiety. Worry. Wasting time. And thus, we need to be reminded often about who God is and what He is and what He does for us on a regular basis. And it's not a bad thing to be reminded. Why did you come here this morning? You didn't come here this morning because I have to go to church. Well, at least I hope you didn't. You didn't come here this morning to hear me blathering on. You came here because you know. You came here because you needed that strengthening that only comes from being around God in His house. The story of Jesus in His house. Not the person sitting next to you, although it is good to fellowship and be strengthened by them. You came here because you had had enough with this week. You're anxious, worried, confused. Amos. I had to reacquaint myself with this book. First of all, I love the name Amos. And although you guys can't see it on the other side of the screen, you guys here in the congregation house know that my two sons are sitting up front and don't know how close one of you two came to being named Amos. You can thank your mother that that didn't happen. I love that name. That's a biblical name. My name should have been Amos. Amos was, he was a godly man. He was devoted to the Lord. He had but one cause in his life, and that was tending after his sheep and raising sycamore fig trees. That's what he loved doing. He was a farmer, humble, in the village of Tekoa, just doing his job, worshiping, providing for his family. When suddenly God reached out to him and showed him a vision of things to come and destruction and pain. When God told him, go get my people and tell them about this, please. He opens up with this. The book tells of this humble shepherd, but then it gets tough. You find him going right to the people of Israel and getting right in their face and saying things that aren't comfortable. Hey, you're sinning. Stop it. Hey, you're doing things you ought not to be doing. Stop it. Hey, destruction is coming. Stop it. They didn't listen. I chose this scripture because it's hard to listen to, but it's necessary. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear. As though he entered his house, rested his hand on the wall, only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light? Pitch dark without a ray of brightness? And I ended it there because I wanted your attention. I want you to stop worrying about when he's going to get here. I want you to be happy that right here, right now, you're alive and breathing. And you are able to worship the Lord. And you are alive and breathing right here, right now, with the knowledge that the day of the Lord does not come with darkness. It comes with light. But don't worry about when it's going to get here. In chapter 5 of Amos, if you go back and read it, and I highly suggest you do, Amos says, the Lord said, seek me and live. Twice. Seek me and live. Twice. He didn't say, dwell upon the darkness, dwell upon the fear, dwell upon the world around you. He said, this is what's coming. Why, I'm going to put those verses into Paul's speak. Why in the world are you worrying about that day? Do you not realize that is not going to be pretty? Don't worry about that. And the line in there that made me laugh was, leaving from a lion to encounter a bear. You ready for Appalachian country speak? Out of the frying pan, into the fire. We don't need to worry about that. We don't need to dwell on that. The Lord says, seek me and live. Amos is telling people, get right with God. Stay right with God. Stay right here, right now with God. For several years, a woman had been having trouble getting to sleep at night. because she feared burglars. She was anxious. Burglars, she was worried and anxious, and she feared them. And she was afraid. And yeah, I know I said burglars. You know, I am probably hungry this morning. And I fear burglars sometimes myself. But she was afraid of burglars. And she was anxious about it, and she worried because she kept saying, they're going to come, they're going to come, they're going to be here. And one night, her husband heard a noise in the house, so he went downstairs to investigate. And lo and behold, when he got there, he found a burglar ready to break in and steal the house blind. The man stopped him and said, "Hi there, I am so glad you're here. I am so pleased to see you. Would you come upstairs and meet my wife? She's been waiting 10 years for you." Right here, right now, there is something greater to consider. Right here, right now, on this day, is something greater to consider. Micah chapter 5, verse 1. "Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, one of you will come for me. One who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor no longer gives birth, and the rest of her brother returns to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace." Right here, right now, we are looking toward the birth of Jesus Christ. Our peace. Our Savior, our light against the darkness. Jesus is coming. We're getting ready to celebrate it. Last night, we was on the way home from wherever we was at in the dark. It is November the... What day is it? 12th? Yesterday was the 11th, right? 11 comes before 12, right? Got that. I can read a calendar. Last night, we was on the way home from the dark. November 11th. We haven't eaten any turkey yet. And people have got their Christmas decorations and they're lit up. And I'm like, what in the world? But the truth is, if you think about it from this point, right now Mary is pregnant. She is just getting ready to leave from Elizabeth's house, who is pregnant. She is going home to give birth to our Savior. John has been born. The herald has been prepared. And Jesus is coming. 2,000 years ago. We need to force ourselves to live in this moment. We need to right here, right now, quit losing sight of the fact that we're living. We know he's coming. We know he's coming soon. In the book of Amos, he finished up this way in the 9th chapter. At the very end of it. In the 13th verse, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman, and the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. I will bring back my exiled people Israel. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant Israel in their own land, never to be uprooted from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God." Right here, right now, I want to remind you that though we live in a time of pain and suffering and trial and tribulation and everything else that goes on, we also live in the land of the change of seasons. The beauty of God painted against the mountains and the trees. We live right here, right now, knowing that we are able to come together and know Jesus Christ. And we live right now, right here, right now, with the power, the conviction, and the words to talk openly about our Savior to those who don't know Him, to the lost. We don't need to live that way. We don't need to live in the past that way. We need to live right here, right now, because we know that that day will be dark. That back then Jesus was born. Right here, right now, we are saved. And every day going forward, we know that one day we will see our Jesus and light will overtake the darkness and our lives will be saved forever. Right here, right now, we make that commitment to sing of the joy of repentance and salvation and be planted in your land, never to be uprooted again forever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that sometimes we have to take strong words out of the Bible, heavy words, if you will, that don't make us comfortable right away. We have to be reminded that you have everything for us. Waste not time worrying about what's going forward. We need to live right here, right now, each and every day, proclaiming Jesus and thanking you. Father, there is still much work to be done, and your time is laid with you, not us. Let us be reminded to repent from our sins, be thankful that we have the mercy and grace, sing out about our salvation, and make sure that we are living examples. Lights not under baskets, proclaiming your Son until the day He returns. And instead of darkness, we live in the light forever. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior, Father. In His name we pray. Amen. As we come before the end here, we start to wrap up. Know the prayer bench is open. It's here and available for you if you need to leave something behind. If you don't know Jesus yet, and the same thing on the other side. If you don't know Him, know Him. If you don't know how to, get a hold of me. May God bless each and every one of you, now and forevermore.